This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. We're 10 minutes from Deron Bland joining us after 2 years in the NFL. He has earned himself a spot, deservedly so, as a starter. 9 picks, 5 touchdowns last year, and he's going to join us here coming up in 10 minutes. Between now and then, we'll get some NFL news of the day with your guy Wolchuk here, Zachary.
Thank you very much there, General. We do have the NFL Top 100 Players list that has been slowly being unveiled, and really hasn't been a huge topic of conversation. We haven't had a Dallas Cowboy make the list yet until last night. Who do you think was the first Cowboy to make his 8th consecutive time on this NFL Top 100?
Zach Martin.
It sure was. Our guy. Zach Martin, our G-Bag Nation weekly guest, who is on this morning with Sean and RJ. You can go back and check that out on their podcast or on the Odyssey app. Last year, Zach Martin was number 68 on the list. He comes in at number 53 on the list this year. So Zach Martin, 8 years in a row on the NFL Top 100, and congratulations to him. I wonder how many more Cowboys we'll see on this list. No Dak Prescott yet, no CeeDee Lamb, no Micah Parsons. I think they're probably three shoo-ins to be in the top 50.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, this the star-studded nature of this roster has not lost anything from last year, Wolchuk.
No, not at all. How about the Raiders? They're admitting they were a little blindsided by Michael Gallup's retirement. This was something they were not suspecting. I think all of us were caught off guard by this. But during an interview, Raiders general manager Tom Telesco, talking with The Athletic, he said, "I didn't see this one coming at all. That was just kind of out of the blue. When I talked to him, it seemed like he had a pretty clear vision. He was ready to move on. It's too bad." So at 28 years old, we wish Michael Gallup the best in career after football. We loved him here. I mean, it was unfortunate. We talked about it on Monday. You know, the knee injury. The knee injury really hurt him.
How about mental health?
Yep.
I think this was a big mental health one right here. I think he's got a lot of things that going on in his life. I think his own struggle with the injury was a problem. I don't think he wants to go through that again. I don't think he's really, you know, interested in that type of work. You know, he doesn't want to. You know, it's hey, if something happens, do I have to do this all over again? I think he's scared. I think he's terrified that, you know, the knee is probably never going to be the same, and he doesn't want to go through that. But I think his mental health stuff, too, is a struggle for him with all the things he deals with on the off the field. And a lot of it has to do with his family stuff that he does.
Yeah, I'm feeling for him. I'm thinking about him. But I am happy for him that he secured enough of a bag to be able to make that decision for himself at 28 years old. How many guys would probably sitting around at training camp right now wishing, my goodness, I got so much crap that I'm dealing with, whatever, physical issues, mental issues, but I don't have the bag secured enough in a way that allows me to retire here at 28. Yeah. So good for Michael Gallup being one of the few that can pull that one off.
No, I think it's embarrassing for the Raiders as well, you know, because watching the film from last year, you had no business signing the guy. You know, it's not a coincidence to me that he ends up in Las Vegas. They're just a day late and a dollar short on most ideas in the league still.
We also have
bad ownership at the top will put you there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's been a team that Antonio Pierce is trying to do what Dan Campbell did with the Lions, and that's changed the culture of losing and try and build them into a winner. He's got a tough task.
Well, is Antonio Pierce doing up downs with his team at practice?
Probably not.
I mean, I don't know.
Probably not. Man,
is he wearing a hat that says in all caps "grit" on the front?
I doubt it.
As he spits tobacco in his players' faces,
I don't think they're biting kneecaps off there, Eric. I don't think so. Now, Tua was the big news that happened. We broke that at the top of the show. Tua Tagovailoa, he's got a 4-year, $212.4 million extension with the Dolphins.
I think it's Tagovailoa.
Yeah, well, yeah. Tagovailoa, you know, a lot of different names for Tua T. He was reported $167 million guaranteed, so that's 8th among NFL contracts. Watson's got the most, followed by Burrow, Herbert, Lawrence, Jackson, Hurts, Goff, and now Tua T. So, hey, you're number eight when it comes to the guaranteed. I think that's what a lot of these players are looking at. All in all, I mean, for the Dolphins, this kind of happened exactly how they wanted to. You know, they don't end up resetting the market with Tua. They keep their quarterback long-term, and I'm sure for Tua, only the four-year deal. He believes in himself. Hopefully he stays healthy. He can get back into the negotiating.
I think that's embarrassing as well. Like, this guy has been so hurt. There have been so many quarterbacks that have been available for trade and free agency, and you like see it through with Tua, but just because he got lucky and didn't get hurt last year, I don't think the judo practice that he did last offseason all of a sudden fixed his injury situation. It was a lucky year, and you're going to pay him for that? I have a feeling tearful Sundays are coming for Dolphins fans as they count down the days till this contract is over.
Yeah.
And they have effectively ruined their championship window.
Yeah, I really can't disagree with you here. I think the ceiling on Tua is a guy that at best can win you a playoff game. Hopefully that game is in Miami at home and not in the cold weather. But I'm seeing a super beast cornerback, number 26.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Smiling because he got the pick.
The interception
in
king,
today.
The pick six god, going to sit down with us here, Deron Bland. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're good, man. We got to just get the mic on here. Don't worry, we got you. We got you figured out. Hey, you had another interception today.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have another one. I dropped the other one yesterday.
Okay. Well, hey, I was reflecting back on last year, record-setting season, man. I mean, did you do anything to celebrate this offseason after you become a record setter in the NFL?
I mean, not too much. Just hang out with the family. Just get back to chill mode.
No new purchases?
No. I'm not a big guy on big purchases like that.
So no new car?
No.
You didn't get it. Okay. I got tipped off maybe you got a new car, like a green G-Wagon, but maybe that's not yours. Maybe I got some bad information here, Deron. Are you a car guy?
I'm starting to a little bit. I mean, I like a little bit of old school, so I want to get one day.
Okay.
Maybe next year, around this time?
Maybe.
Something like that. What's the difference in the feeling of getting a game pick and a practice pick? Because it's got to be exciting either way, right?
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. But practice, you know, it's what prepares you for the game. So in that game, it's a different moment. It's like a bigger moment. You got the whole crowd, so it's been a lot more noise. And you got your teammates, so it's like you got to get that celebration out.
Yeah, I've heard from players. I think Ray Lewis described this one time. But does the noise, does everything, like, you can't even hear. You're having sort of an out-of-body experience.
When you're playing and you get those moments, you can't hear nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And, like, you don't hear it until, like, the end or you get to the sideline pretty much.
Yes. As you're catching your breath from exhaustion, running down for the pick six. That's beautiful. When you pick off Dak in practice, do you let him know about it?
Oh, yeah. We talked about it.
Okay, good.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you about the trash talk, because I don't know if you heard Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Lions recently called out Jordan Lewis. Was like, man, he was talking crazy when we played them. Have you heard J-Lew just going off on guys during the game? I mean, do you talk trash at all?
Me? No, personally, not too much. No, not really. Actually, unless somebody says something, but no, not really.
Who's the most likely wide receiver to say something in your experience?
I've guarded almost everybody, and they never said anything, really.
Really?
Because they know he's going to cover them if they do.
Yeah, they don't want
to. That's the thing about it. You don't want to poke the bear.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
At any point last year, you know, after one of your many touchdowns, did you think, you know, I might be able to get involved in offense? Because your moves are good. Your high point of the ball is good. Obviously, your background is there. What could you do out here?
I always thought I'd get back on offense, you know, because I played in it so much growing up, so I always miss the offensive side, and having that ball in my hands gets me back on the offensive side, so that's enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a thing of beauty there with some of those pick sixes. What was your favorite one?
Panthers.
Panthers. Oh, the Panthers were beautiful.
Yeah. It was a beautiful one.
What about the Thanksgiving situation? Because you end up getting to eat the turkey leg on television, right?
Yeah, it was good, though. I didn't expect it to be it was cold, but I didn't expect it to be that good.
Okay, I was wondering how fresh was it. So it wasn't very fresh, but it was tasty.
It was good, though.
Have you had a turkey leg since then?
No. That was actually probably like my first time.
Okay, all right. What's your favorite type of food?
I'll say pasta.
Yeah. Is pasta the pregame meal usually?
Yeah, usually.
What kind of pasta?
I usually like try to have that the day before. I like chicken Alfredo.
Okay, chicken Alfredo.
Yeah, something simple.
Do you play on an empty stomach?
No. Yeah. I gotta have a little bit of something.
Just something light.
Yeah. But you carb load and you hydrate the day before in an effort for... Yeah, that's a pro tip right there. Video game guy?
Yeah.
What are you into?
A lot. Call of Duty, 2K, not too much Madden, because... I don't know.
What about the new College Football 25 game?
I played Road to Glory, yeah.
You're into it? Yeah. I kind of want to ask you about your recruiting story. Like, Brian and I, we cover the draft. Yeah. And you've probably been asked about this a lot, but it's like, how in the world did teams not offer you, like, D1 schools in your area?
I only had Sac State. That was it. Those are D1 double.
It's unbelievable. They
That's
done
crazy.
Up,
yeah, there's a lot of teams in the Pac-12 that are going, well, what was the Pac-12? I'm thinking, this kid could play at Washington, UCLA, USC. I mean, when I was watching you play, I was just like going, God, how do you miss somebody that bad? You know, but that happens in.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
It happens a lot. When I watch you play, though, you're so instinctual the way you move and stuff. And I love the way you play slot corner. What does it take to be a really good slot corner? Because you got to carry the whole field. And what does it take to be that type?
I mean, you got to have that type of that mindset that you're one of the guys that controlling the defense. You know, you got to set the defense up. You got to be in the run game, be in the pass game, and then be vocal and be a playmaker inside. So, like Jordan Lewis now, he's one of our jump starters. And one of the guys that energizes.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I love watching you play inside. I know you play great outside.
No, but you're a damn dog.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sitting there, you know, we all love Jay Lou. I'm like going, but at number 26, you walk him inside, that guy ain't catching the ball on him.
Yeah, are you more comfortable there, would you say, than the boundary?
No, I would say that I'm more comfortable outside.
Okay.
My rookie was the first year ever playing slot. I never played slot before.
Dude, what? Oh, Nick, no, wait, stop. No, I'm getting capped. We're getting capped right now. You've never played slot before?
No, I was always outside.
You think Deron Blaine is ball sack us right now?
No, I'm done with that. No, I'm done. I'm done with this interview because my man, it's like he's a veteran out there playing. That's the first time you've ever, at Fresno, none of those places you ever played?
No.
Man.
My man's telling me a fib.
No, he is not. He is not a liar.
He's telling me, I got
my rookie year to just like Jordan Lewis. Like when he got hurt, he was like always in my ear, just teaching me about the role and everything. So
get out of here.
Well, it seems like
I can't believe this.
It's mind blowing.
Is that the toughest role you think among the defensive backs? Yes. Is that slot corner? Because they're moving the number one wide receiver in there as well. So you're getting the toughest assignment.
Yeah. And there's a lot more space too, so and you got to think about the run game at the same time, right. So it's hard.
And they're running you through trash and all that, and you're just finding your way through. I learned something today. I'll let you guys handle the interview. I learned something today.
Football IQ right there for you.
That's right. Absolutely.
Interception aficionado Deron Bland with us here in the G-Bag Nation. These new age offenses and all this motion that's going on, how just annoying is it? How much more difficult is it to defend?
It's hard to tap in what the guys are doing. You know, they can do anything out those motions now. So a lot of guys are moving. You got everybody moving now. And they got speed guys too. So you got to worry about them running down the field or just cutting under. So it's hard.
Has Zimmer ripped your ass or anybody else's ass to this point? Have you seen him just really get after it?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, his background's DB, so I wonder if he's like paying you guys a little more extra attention.
No, he walks around everybody.
Okay.
What changes for you under Zimmer? What changes for you?
Nothing much. You know, I try to keep it the same.
What are you looking to add to your skill set or your game this offseason going into year three?
I would say more consistency. You know, that's one of the biggest things what all the greats do. You know, that's be consistent throughout day in, day out, all through season.
Who's your favorite corner of all time, speaking of those greats?
That's tough. But I'm going to have to go Deion, you know. Top of the corners, you know. Everybody wanted to be Deion.
Well, that's Zimmer's guy. Yeah. When Mike was starting out as a coach, because I worked with Mike in the early 2000s scouting here, Mike will yell. But he probably won't yell at you because he knows not to yell at really good players. Like, he'll yell at, like, bums like me, like, hey, why don't you bring me some Blands that can play? And I'm like, Mike, I'm doing my best, man. I'm out here scouring the country to try and find a guy. But, yeah, the thing with Zim, I'm always interested about this, of how people are impressed with him or his impression of him, because he is kind of a loud, vocal guy, and Deion was his guy. I mean, like, but Mike knows really good players. Hey, Mike will help you. Next thing, you'll be in the top 100 in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
They're voting on you in Pro Bowls and all that stuff, because you listen to Mike, Mike will get you there, because you're a very talented player.
Thank you.
Very talented player.
Did you know Zimmer's a bit of a Riz God himself? Did you know that?
You're not familiar with his game?
No.
I might want to go and ask him.
Maxim Hot 100. Just ask him about the Maxim Hot 100 and see if you can get his thoughts on it. Okay?
He's pulling some models, bro.
I'm not joking with you on that one.
No, we're not.
I need to get an update on whether or not they're still dating, because I know in 2022 Zimmer was like, I'm in retirement now, I got some time on my hands, let's go ahead and get this.
I can't tell. He always says that he doesn't like to talk too much.
ask him how he feels about the Australian accent.
What do you are you watching any other corners that you like right now?
I mean, always like to watch the other corners around the league, just see what they got and what I got in my game.
Who are some of the guys in your queue?
I'd say from last year, I like Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Who else? There's a lot of guys. Can't even think right now.
What are, they're asking right now. They're at training camps. Other training camps, and people are going, "Who do you watch?" And they're saying, "Deron Bland." Yeah. See, I'm watching. It's because, but trust me, there's people watching you the way you play in this game for sure.
I watch Sauce, McDuffie. Stanley.
Yeah, there you go,
McDuffie.
Yeah.
That's another good one on the inside. That dude's a
Washington
ball.
Kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a dog.
How do you know when it's time to break on the ball so much better than anybody else?
I mean, it's just instincts, you know. But also, it's my days in playing receiver. So
yeah.
I understand some timing and stuff.
So it's as simple as reading routes?
It's not that simple.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody's like, "Oh, I just read the routes." I mean, I talk to guys all the time. "Oh, I just read the route." I'm like, read the route, man. Here you are. Guy intercepts every other pass.
Everything got to line up.
Yeah.
Does film come into it?
Oh, as much. Like, it's probably 100%.
Yeah.
But you and Diggs both have that receiver background, and both of you are leading the NFL in interceptions. Yeah. We were robbed of having you both last year. How's Trey doing, and how excited are you guys to get out
there
together?
He's doing good. I can't wait till you see him back on the field. My rookie year only got probably like one game with me and him back on the outside together, so it would be great to have him back out there.
Have they brought anybody else? Who else out there are you gonna hip us to and put on notice that has the ball skills?
I say everybody in the room has ball skills. You know, Al Harris, he teaches everybody to go get the ball, so I say Nashawn Wright,
Carson. I love Carson.
What do you think about?
We were talking the draft, and I'm like, going, "This little kid from Wake Forest can play a little bit. A little bit." Yeah.
Yeah, you'll see on preseason.
Oh yeah, no, I know. That part you're not lying to me on right there.
What about the young wide receivers, Tolbert or Brooks? Anybody impressing you out here?
Definitely Brooks and Tolbert. No, he had a good catch on me yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to see them on the field and get the chance they get. And one of my teammates, College Cropper.
Yeah.
Dude, Cropper's good. Mm-hmm. He is quick and smooth in and out of his breaks, man. Mm-hmm. Shifty little guy.
Yeah.
Really good player.
Number 26, Deron Bland, going into his third year. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Fan, sir. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
There he goes. Thank you, sir. Deron Bland, Cowboys, a proper legend at this point. I mean, you go get 9 picks, take 5 of them to the house. They're going to be talking about that for decades, and, you know, he's just getting started. All right, we'll step aside. We'll come back with some Rangers content and everything breaking around the hottest team in baseball and the latest trade deadline news and reports coming up next right here to the G-Bag Nation and The Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation live in the tennis courts in Oxnard. I'm about to read you the greatest couple sentences of their Texas Rangers season. But at 877-881-1053, I want your thoughts. Have the Rangers put the league on notice already? If not, what more do you need to see? Segment of the Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump over there to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, the greatness of Ken Rosenthal here says they will, in fact, be buyers. Story here in the morning news there from your guy, Nate Sanchez. Rosenthal's official quote from the story, "It's official. The Texas Rangers are going for it." Details the slow start, but then talks about how his sources have said, you know, the Rangers aren't looking at pitching. You got the return of Bradford, Dunning, Malley, and DeGrom.
It's unreal.
That's insane. GM Chris Young is going to be on the hunt for offensive help, given that the Rangers ranked 21st in slugging percentage, 19th in OPS as a team. What the Rangers want to add, according to sources familiar with the plan, is a bat, either a left-handed bat hitting outfielder, DH, or a platoon neutral right-handed hitter, Rosenthal saying in that report. So, I mean, where we have been, what we had to consider last week, hell, even Monday, talking with CY. Last couple of times we've had him on, not shooting down the ideas of becoming sellers. And now I figure with Ken Rosenthal, if he says it, you can take it to the bank. The Rangers are buyers, regardless of what happens this weekend in Toronto.
And it's not really a surprise. I think when we talked with CY1, he told us exactly that. He was very honest when it came to what they would be looking for to add to this team, with it being an offensive bat. but also you could tell in his voice. I mean, he is so competitive. The thought of having to sell was irritating the hell out of him. And he told us, guys, make the decision for me. Just go out and win on the field. And they've done that. 12 of their last 16 games have been wins. They've upped their postseason odds from 5.5% to now more than 25% to get into the postseason. So, hey, I get it. It's the White Sox, and now it's going to be the Blue Jays. These are not good clubs, but you've still got to go out there and take care of business, which is really not something the Rangers had been doing. That's how you end up being a sub-500 team. You're not always beating the teams that you should be beating. So beat up on them now, and names to look at. Yandy Diaz was one that Ken Rosenthal dropped. Right-handed hitter, sizable platoon splits this year. He's got an 879 OPS against lefties, 670 against righties, but his career numbers are over 888 against lefties, 769 against righties. So Diaz is one of these guys that can be really, really good.
I guess we're going to have a conversation about a fan favorite, Nathaniel Lowe, but before we do that, can we go to the podium where Micah Parsons is talking? All right. We'll head over here to Micah in just a second, G-Bag Nation, and there he is. No? Oh.
You guys good in the back? Good? Yep.
Okay, we're standing by for Micah Parsons here.
Just no, it's
taking the first
early,
question from David Moore.
What's been put in and your conversations with Mike Zimmer, how different would you say your role would be this year? Is it really just the same and just going about it differently? Or
I would say it's almost the same. Me, Mike, and Paul, even Trayvon joined this morning on our early meetings, just going through install, going through what we're putting in and things like that. And as you see, I'm going to do a little bit of both, just like I have been in the past. I think the personnel and the packages is good, and now that we got more understanding of each other, I think it's going to be a great year. It's really too early to say because, you know, when you get the games, you can say, oh, we're going to call this, you know, so many times, and then, you know, on 2nd and 7, 2nd and 6, but, you know, if a team's at 2nd and 9 and this is more of a pass rush down, then, you know, the circumstances change, so it just depends on the game, I would say.
So, just based on your conversation, on rundowns, they may use you more at linebacker.
It could be. You know, he didn't get too specific on anything. We just putting in the personnel right now.
How do you feel? What kind of shape are you in? You know, so much talking. I saw you on Twitter saying you're lighter than you were last year.
Yeah. I just weighed out. I was 240 pounds. You know, I'm back into my college weight. I think, you know, I kind of, you know, want to do more, want to get more into that do-it-all conditioning as well. So when you got 10 pounds off you, it's a lot easier.
I know you bulked up to handle the pounding at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're lighter again. It's just, you'll still be rushing and dealing with that pounding. How do you think that's going to affect you?
Well, I'm going to be all over, man. At the end of the day, they got to find me. You know, that's what I train for. There's some days I'll go into the gym and do 500-600 reps. You know, it's that muscle endurance, that conditioning that you're training for, the long haul. Great trainers and great people help me understand that, you know, more weight doesn't always mean a positive thing. So it's just how you train.
Lay out goals in front of you when the season starts, like certain numbers that you want to hit?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think, you know, the goals of mine is always obvious and always it's always to be the best in everything I do. So that's always leading my team to playoffs, win the Super Bowl, be the best defensive player in the league. And usually when you do all those things usually follow suit. So I just got to take one step in front of the other, take one game at a time, dominate, do what I have to do, get a win, go to playoffs, and all that stuff will add up.
John, what do you – oh, sorry, John Schroeder with The Athletic. After you guys drafted Mozzie Smith, you know, you had high hopes for what he could be at defensive tackle. Now his second year coming in, what do you think that Mozzie could be for your guys' defensive line?
Well, it's not what I think he can be. It's what Mozzie has to be. You know, when you get to this business, it's no more of a choice or a can. It's either you will or you won't. And, you know, they usually try to find someone else to do it if you can't. So it's what Mozzie has to be. He has to be dominant. He has to be a force. He has to be that guy for us. You know, that's why they drafted him in the first round. You're not getting drafted in the first round not to be a productive talent, not to be on the sideline. You know, we drafted him to be in the game, and that's how much confidence I have to be. I don't expect Mozzie to do anything. It's what Mozzie has to do at this point. And, you know, that's why I'm in his corner. I'm rooting for him. I'm hoping that, you know, try to get him better every day, pushing his conditioning, pushing his limits. Because, you know, we need Mozzie to be strong. We need Mozzie to be that great force. He can be a dominant player. It's just if the will and mindset, and that's why we're all here.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. Malik Hooker said some things about you during the live stream, and then I think you've talked to him. So how have you resolved your issues, if there were issues?
It's just one of them things. It is what it is, you know. People doing their free time, that's what they do. I know what I do in my free time, so make sure you hop on the edge if you got a chance on Monday or Tuesday nights. What he does on his Monday or Tuesday nights when he's not in the building, that's on him. You know, what I do, you know, that's me and my business and my family. So, you know, I'm going to keep it at that.
He has said that you guys talked it out because there might have been a misunderstanding of him saying what he said.
I mean, no misunderstanding. It's plain as day what it was, you know. So it is what it is. Everything was said, and I just wanted to move on and get ready to the season.
Saadi's at The Athletic. Micah, in minicamp, you talked about with you and Zimmer, you guys hadn't had too much time yet. How has it been with him personally, his style of coaching? What are your early kind of reviews on Mike Zimmer?
You know, I think Zim's completely changed from what he was back in the day. Now, I haven't seen him in game day format. Game day format, the intentions and the emotion is way higher, but so far, I mean, all our conversations been, you know, very great, very simple, very open, very transparent, very much what can you do, how good are you at that, you know, what positions he wants me to be in and things like that. So, you know, I think his coaching has been fabulous. His scheme has been amazing. And I'm actually very excited to be in this scheme. I think this was definitely a blessing that we went and got Zimmer. He decided to come back.
For 3 years, you only had one defensive coordinator in the NFL. Is it different from Dan? And you know, is it something that you feel like you can work with as well?
I think what Zimmer is able to get out of his players is no different from Dan. I think Zimmer is starting to open up to the guys and be more open with us. And we're getting that bond as camp will go on and get better and better and as the season will go on. But, you know, I think it's still going to be a very good year. Even without Dan, I was blessed to have Dan for 3 years. He still checks in on me. You know, that's still like my big uncle, someone I love very much dearly. But today, I got a job to do, and I just kick his ass twice a year. So, you know, we could hug afterwards.
Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com. You responded to some criticism a couple of weeks ago on Twitter of somebody saying that your production kind of tails off in the last few weeks of the season and the playoffs. You said you're going to be ready this time. What kind of goes into the preparation of keeping that production high as the season goes on?
You know, I actually don't think my production drops off at all. You know, I think teams do a great job at game planning. I'm still, you know, I would say one of the most feared players in the league, if you look at it. It's just more that I just want to be better for myself. You know, I owe it to the fans, my teammates to be better, to put more commitment into this and do better as a whole. You know, I take accountability for when we lose. I take all those losses very personally. Anyone who knows me, anyone who's close to me, know I hate to lose. I can't stand to lose. I don't even like when games are close. So, when we do lose like that and we do lose that hole, I take that personally. Even if I feel like there isn't more I can do, or if there's, no matter what my emotions is, I have to find a way to feel accountable for that loss and find a way where I can lead these guys better. So, and you know, there was tough conversation between me and Mike and me and the team and where they want me to step up. So, you know, I said it has to start now. So every day I walk around the meeting, I make sure everyone has their notebook. You know, I make sure everyone got a water bottle, because like now, to me, there is no excuses. I want to check every box of everything. so that way no one is feel like they're behind. You know, everyone feels strong about their playbook. Everyone feels strong about what they where they are, where they're at in the defense. I want everyone to feel like it's going to be a great year, and then when we get to playoffs, there's no hiccups. Everyone feels strong about, you know, what their position is, what their role is, and be dominant in their role. And there's no man left behind. So this year is going to be a great year.
I'm Mike Pat Doney with NBC DFW. Mike said this morning, speaking of the motivation from last year, that he's trying to put the Green Bay game away, put it behind you all. But at the same time, I mean, you spoke about 49ers game a lot at the beginning of last year. How much has the Green Bay game motivated you this offseason specifically to try and help this team take that next step?
You know, that was the last time I stepped on the field. I think, you know, for me, it should motivate you. And, you know, I think, you know, it's bad to just throw games away, you know, like that and say, oh, they're not there. You know, I think that's a little bit of delusional. I think it's more of, you should be happy that game happened. You should know what that failure feels like. Embrace that failure. That's what makes you stronger. Think about anything that's ever hurt you in life. You're like, okay, this is what it is. I accept that. Now, how do I never make this happen again? That's what champions do. That's what, you know, winners do. You embrace those failures. I embrace that loss. I wholeheartedly open and admit to that loss, and I take that loss in, and I use that into my training, you know. When we was down in deep waters and everyone was looking around, you know, you got to train yourself and remember, like, what's your why? What's the reason why you're doing this? And, you know, when you're training hard and you're tired, you think about that loss. You know, you think about those times where you were tired of the game and you wish you could have gave more and you were just loafing around and you didn't do that. That's what those losses and those failures do for you. And you need to embrace that into your training and even in your season. You know, you should. I mean, I would have LaFleur's picture in my locker all year if I could. You know, I can't wait to see LaFleur again. You know, that's the type of motivation that you should have when you take a loss like that, or any loss. You know, I take every loss personal. I don't see that, you know, that perspective.
Mike Ducey, Fox 4. There's been so much talk about potential contract extensions. How do you feel about your situation in that regard? And all things being equal, would you like to be a Cowboy for your entire career?
You know, I think when you talk about, you know, career and legacy, I don't think there's a better career you can have when you're playing for the star and you have a chance to be the best with the star and retire a Cowboy. You look at Witten, you look at Michael Irvin, you look at Emmitt, you see they're still in the community, still active. The star holds so much weight and the legacy that brings. Look at Charles, he still bothers me in the locker room every week. You know, it's nothing like wearing a star when you do it the right way. So in terms of, you know, being here, I want to be here my whole life. I plan on building a house here and being in Dallas forever. I love this city. I love the community. I love for what it stands for. And to be honest with you, you know, I always told you guys, you know, that the contract stuff will always take care of itself. You know, winning games is what I need to take care of. And I focus on winning games and making plays and getting sacks. And then, you know, Jerry could meet up with the agent later and they handle all that other stuff. I don't know how that goes, but I'm on my first deal, and I know I got 2 years left here, so I'm going to try to maximize those as much as possible.
Bill Jones, CBS Texas, what's it like working alongside Eric Kendricks, and how important is he in getting Zemp's defense?
Yeah, EK probably don't know this, but, you know, I look up to EK greatly. Back when, you know, it was him and Anthony Barr, and they were dominating in Minnesota. Not that he's not in his prime, but when him and AB were, you know, young savages, you know, it was always great to see and what they did and what they accomplished. That was one of my Madden teams growing up. So, you know, I look up to him, and then seeing how intent he is every day. It's great to have that veteran leadership. You could tell how much he's lifting up Damone and how he's lifting up the other guys around him. And it goes back to how much we missed Leighton last year. You know, I was playing ping pong in the special teams room. I was like, damn, I miss you, bro, because Leighton was like my special teams ping pong brother, and I miss him just being out there on the field with him. You know, it's always sad when you see a brother have to retire because of injuries or anything like that. So, you know, just having EK here and getting that veteran voice in here is, you know, one to really be amazed by, and we're grateful to have him.
an absolute A-plus press conference here with Micah Parsons in the G-Bag Nation. We'll step aside, come back with Biggest L, Biggest Dub, but in the 4 o'clock, we'll talk about the takeaways from this Micah Parsons presser and some of the more interesting things that have been said over the last 15 minutes. You're listening to Cowboys training camp coverage. We're live on the tennis courts, and we'll be back with more here on 105.3 The Fan. That is right. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Micah Parsons presser just concluded. We'll give you takeaways from that coming up at 4 o'clock. It's time now for the Chief to deliver some of a bit of a weekly recap here, Friday staple in the nation.
Let's do it. 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? And more importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories? Text them in right now because it's time for Biggest L, Biggest Dub. Big time dub being here in Oxnard on the tennis courts watching Cowboys football underway. This is beautiful. It's a big time dub. Now, I will say, a collective L on the traveling coming here, not ideal, capped off by the tripping and falling to the ground and scraping himself up. Brian brought us in the Avis rental car parking lot. I'm going to give you biggest L of the week for that because you didn't deserve it. You're showing up to training camp. This is your habitat. You're the mayor of Oxnard, and all of a sudden you're literally limping your way into training camp, and I think that's a disservice to you.
I'll tell you, I hit the pavement so hard I lost one of my earbud things.
Oh, no. Oh, you lost an AirPod?
Yeah. I couldn't find it.
I thought it was teeth.
I thought it
was, I literally thought it was a denture. I was like, my dear God.
I was like, no.
I'm down to one thing now. I was trying to scramble up so quickly that I just kind of left it on the ground.
You punted on the pod?
I think I did. So I just had the one. But
well, it's disorienting when you fall all the way to the ground as an adult.
Yeah.
You know, in public.
I've got the bruises to prove it and all that.
You did.
So I took an L, but... You know, ultimately, we're here, so that's all that matters.
Biggest L214 says that this segment's only going to be about 5 minutes today. But Micah Parsons at the mic, dude, and he was getting super vulnerable up there. Kind of feels.
Did you like what he said about Mozzie? That it wasn't really like trying to be really super complimentary of Mozzie. He was trying to say, hey, listen,
it's what you need to do.
They drafted him to come in here and play,
yeah.
And if you don't play, they'll find somebody else that will.
You know, some of his off-season stuff made you wonder about
I got that right.
You're dead balls on. Made you wonder about his leadership ability. But everything he said up there at that press conference makes me believe he's taken very positive steps in that direction.
972.
Hey, I have another question for that press conference.
Yeah.
Micah said he does 500 reps in the gym.
Okay, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Of what?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Of what, my guy?
15-pound dumbbells?
Yeah. Show me, bro.
He's adding like his step count into his reps or whatever. I don't know. I was wondering the same thing, Lucius. I'm like 500 to 600 reps. What are we doing?
It's insane.
Here? These can't be high intensity, can they?
But it kind of sounded like he wants muscle endurance more than raw power.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and he kind of skirted the question about like, did you run out of gas at the end of the year? He said teams are just game planning for me better. But I mean,
he ran out of gas.
The weight techniques that he's using suggest he wants to make sure his muscles are good to go for 3 hours every Sunday.
Yeah, no question. Especially as you get into the season, that fatigue come November after Thanksgiving, Micah, you know, what's the fall off like? I do think there's something too, especially when you get later into the season and into the postseason, you're playing against better teams, better coaches. They can game plan a little bit better in a way to try and force you away from the things that you do well. But there's also some physical elements to that on Micah's end.
Speaking of elements, I suffered an L Wednesday on the way out here. I've only confided in Brian about it, but as we were taking off, I managed to put myself in like a personal hell. My world was spinning. I thought I was going to throw up. I needed to get to the restroom, but the plane's taking off, so you can't get up. So I'm eyeballing the barf bag thinking, oh my goodness, for the first time since I was 11 years old, I'm going to throw up on an airplane.
I'm going to be that guy.
But I didn't want to reach for it to make the guy next to me nervous.
Right.
But I'm thinking, my goodness, this might just be the beginning of this. I might be in for a long, but about 2 minutes later, I took my hat off. The cool air hit the sweat that was pouring down my forehead at this point, and it subsided.
Oh, it saved you. Gosh, that would have been amazing to see, though.
I was looking over at you guys like, is the same thing happened to them? Is something in the air?
No, Eric's right shoulder was dislocated. He was in his right shoulder was like next to his right ear.
We got to know each other pretty well.
It was the least comfortable flying experience I've ever had.
Let me ask you about that, L. Now, Brian put us gloriously in the exit row, but would you prefer to maybe not sit three in a row? I mean, you're stacking up like three XL dudes in an
dudes yeah. you know or a, like random buff man no, that was sitting next to you.
I did have random buff guy next to me, but see, that's like a 1 in 15 situation. When you book it like that, you're locking in for a big guys on each side of you.
We've kind of
you might need to see a chiropractor after that.
Yeah,
flight. I'm not kidding you, dude. I'm not kidding. I was hammering the ibuprofen after that. I was like,
it's weird that
seven at a time because I'm going to.
That's 777. It's weird how the configuration, we had so much room in front of us.
But the wall that
shrinks to your scale.
What are we doing? Yeah. It's all right because we're here in Oxnard and it's beautiful. So that's a huge dub. 940, big dub, going to see Deadpool and Wolverine.
Let us know how it is.
He says, I mean, hanging out with wifey. Ha ha. That's my guy, Tim. I'm probably doing a solo trip to the movies, man, which is as therapeutic as it gets. You know, a lot of people are like, I need to go to therapy or whatever. Like, why don't you go see a movie by yourself?
Just go see a movie.
See what that does for you. It's a little bit of a reset, okay?
Just turn off
the
brain.
Go to dinner by yourself.
Yeah, maybe a little din-din.
Not worry how it looks.
Dinner and a movie, just me.
It's always YouTube you can watch while you're eating.
That's true. That's a broad staple.
That's a staple.
972 got a massive victory. Went to San Antone and to give a massive presentation for fellow teachers. 250 plus were there, and it went swimmingly. So congratulations.
Dawson would say that's an L.
Big dub for Broadus. Apparently, Apple sells the replacement individual AirPods, Broadus, so you might still be able to recover that.
I really appreciate the information because
customer service.
That thing ended up under a minivan somewhere. I hit the ground so hard it flew out of my pocket. Yeah,
you got a pun on that one.
Biggest L of the week, though, goes to all of the athletes in Paris for the Olympics. Their food situation's gone a bit haywire. They're running out of the necessities for athletes to perform. Protein, the grilled chicken, the eggs, all that stuff they're running low on. Because all the athletes want is that. They don't want the plant-based BS that Paris decided they were going to throw out there for environmental reasons. So there's a lot of vegan options just sitting there going to waste, and everybody's standing around like, hey, I'm a professional athlete competing for gold medals. I don't need fake lab experiment food here. I need legitimate protein. Where's my eggs? Where's my chicken? Where's my beef? They're running low on it because they overdid it for the vegans.
That's beef.
Some of these World Cup teams bring their own food. Like, you know, like soccer
Good
teams,
so
they
yes,
bring their own food.
So
yeah,
Great Britain and the United States are sending chefs now to prepare larger catering orders for their teams.
Massive orders of, what do they call it, bangers and mash?
Why are we not thinking about this beforehand?
I need some old damn fish and chips here.
Yeah, damn it.
I only have cheese.
Seriously, why are we not thinking about this? Why are we just putting our hands in France's hands? Why? I mean, our fate in France's hands? No, not happening on my watch.
I think we should, round up as many steaks as we can get on a 747 and just show up in front of the athlete housing. We'll make a killing.
Yeah.
You know? We get, at least get these boys
I think
a chance
we should make our
gold.
Own housing is what we should do over there.
I heard that.
Yeah.
All right. Two down. 1.5 to go. That is right. Rangers baseball is coming up at 5:30 as they visit the Toronto Blue Jays here on the Fan, looking for number 6, their second 5-game winning streak in a row. I think they are 5 back of the wild card spot. Probably, 2.5 back of Houston as we sit here, and a game back of Seattle. All righty, G-Bag Nation, hope you're having a good one. As we return, we have a C-note for you, the Cowboys news of the evening, the top takeaways from practice, and the Micah Parsons press conference is coming up next here on The Fan. That is right. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Micah Parsons presser just concluded. We'll give you takeaways from that coming up at 4 o'clock. It's time now for the Chief to deliver some of a bit of a weekly recap here, Friday staple in the nation.
Let's do it. 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? And more importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories? Text them in right now because it's time for biggest L, biggest dub. Big time dub being here in Oxnard on the tennis courts watching Cowboys football underway. This is beautiful. It's a big time dub. Now, I will say, a collective L on the traveling coming here, not ideal, capped off by the tripping and falling to the ground and scraping himself up. Brian Broaddus in the Avis rental car parking lot. I'm going to give you biggest L of the week for that because you didn't deserve it. You're showing up to training camp. This is your habitat. You're the mayor of Oxnard, and all of a sudden you're literally limping your way into training camp, and I think that's a disservice to you.
I'll tell you, I hit the pavement so hard, I lost one of my earbud things.
Oh, no. Oh, you lost an AirPod?
Yeah. I couldn't find it.
I thought it was teeth.
I thought it
was. I literally thought it was a denture. I was really like, oh,
did.
My dear God.
I was like, no.
I'm down to one thing now. I was trying to scramble up so quickly that I just kind of left it on the ground.
You punted on the pod?
I think I did. So I just had the one. But
well, it's disorienting when you fall all the way to the ground as an adult.
Yeah,
you know, in public.
I've got the bruises to prove it and
yeah,
all that.
You did.
So I took an L, but. You know, ultimately, we're here, so that's all that matters.
Biggest L214 says that this segment's only going to be about 5 minutes today. But Micah Parsons at the mic, dude, and he was getting super vulnerable up there. Kind of feels.
Did you like what he said about Mozzie? That it, you know, it wasn't really like trying to be really super complimentary of Mozzie. He was trying to say, hey, listen,
it's what you need to do.
They drafted him to come in here and play,
yeah.
And if you don't play, they'll find somebody else that will.
You know, some of his off-season stuff made you wonder about
I got that right.
You're dead balls on. Made you wonder about his leadership ability. But everything he said up there at that press conference makes me believe he's taken very positive steps in that direction.
972.
Hey, I have another question for that press conference.
Yeah.
Micah said he does 500 reps in the gym.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Of what, my guy?
15-pound dumbbells?
Yeah. Show me, bro.
He's adding like his step count into his reps or whatever. I don't know. I was wondering the same thing, Lucius. I'm like 500 to 600 reps. What are we doing?
It's insane.
Here? These can't be high intensity, can they?
But it kind of sounded like he wants muscle endurance more than raw power.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and he kind of skirted the question about like, did you run out of gas at the end of the year? He said teams are just game planning for me better. But I mean,
he ran out of gas.
The weight techniques that he's using suggest he wants to make sure his muscles are good to go for 3 hours every Sunday.
Yeah, no question. Especially as you get into the season, that fatigue come November after Thanksgiving, Micah, you know, what's the fall off like? I do think there's something too, especially when you get later into the season and into the postseason, you're playing against better teams, better coaches. They can game plan a little bit better in a way to try and force you away from the things that you do well. But there's also some physical elements to that on Micah's end.
Speaking of elements, I suffered an L Wednesday on the way out here. I've only confided in Brian about it, but as we were taking off, I managed to put myself in like a personal hell. My world was spinning. I thought I was going to throw up. I needed to get to the restroom, but the plane's taking off, so you can't get up. So eyeballing the barf bag thinking, oh my goodness, for the first time since I was 11 years old, I'm going to throw up on an airplane.
I'm going to be that guy.
But I didn't want to reach forward to make the guy next to me nervous.
Right.
But I'm thinking, my goodness, this might just be the beginning of this. I might be in for a long, but about 2 minutes later, I took my hat off. The cool air hit the sweat that was pouring down my forehead at this point, and it subsided.
Oh, it saved you. Gosh, that would have been amazing to see, though.
I was looking over at you guys like, is the same thing happened to them? Is something in the air?
No, Eric's right shoulder was dislocated. He was in his right shoulder was like to his right ear.
We got to know each other pretty well.
It was the least comfortable flying experience I've ever had.
Let me ask you about that, L. Now, Brian put us gloriously in the exit row, but would you prefer to maybe not sit three in a row? I mean, you're stacking up like... three XL dudes in an
dudes yeah. you know or like a, random buff man that no, was I'd sitting next to you.
I did have random buff guy next to me, but see, that's like a 1 in 15 situation. When you book it like that, you're locking in for big guys on each side of you.
We've kind of
might need to see a chiropractor after that.
Yeah,
flight. I'm not kidding you, dude. I'm not kidding. I was hammering the ibuprofen after that. I was like,
it's
can
weird
you take
that
seven at a time because I'm going to.
That's 777. It's weird how the configuration, we had so much room in front of us.
But the wall that
but
comes
the wall
in?
Shrinks
yeah,
to
the
your
scale. What are we doing? Yeah. It's all right because we're here in Oxnard and it's beautiful. So that's a huge dub. 940, big dub, going to see Deadpool and Wolverine.
Let us know how it is.
He says, I mean, hanging out with wifey, haha. That's my guy, Tim. I'm probably doing a solo trip to the movies, man, which is as therapeutic as it gets. You know, a lot of people are like, I need to go to therapy or whatever. Like, why don't you go see a movie
just
by
go
yourself?
Go see a movie.
See what that does for you. It's a little bit of a reset,
yes,
okay?
Just turn off
then
the
go to
brain.
Dinner by yourself.
Yeah, maybe a little din-din.
Not worry how it looks.
Dinner and a movie, just me.
It's always YouTube you can watch while you're eating.
That's true. That's a broad staple.
That's a staple.
972 got a massive victory, went to San Antonio and to give a massive presentation for fellow teachers. 250-plus were there, and it went swimmingly. So congratulations.
Dawson would say that's an L.
Big Dub for Broadus. Apparently, Apple sells the replacement individual AirPods, Broadus, so you might still be able to recover that.
I really appreciate the information because
customer service.
That thing ended up under a minivan somewhere. I hit the ground so hard it flew out of my pocket. Yeah.
You got a pun on that one.
Biggest L of the week, though, goes to all of the athletes in Paris for the Olympics. Their food situation's gone a bit haywire. They're running out of the necessities for athletes to perform. Protein, the grilled chicken, the eggs, all that stuff they're running low on because all the athletes want is that. They don't want the plant-based BS that Paris decided they were going to throw out there for environmental reasons. So there's a lot of vegan options just sitting there going to waste, and everybody's standing around like, hey, I'm a professional athlete competing for gold medals. I don't need fake lab experiment food here. I need legitimate protein. Where's my eggs? Where's my chicken? Where's my beef? They're running low on it because they overdid it for the vegans.
That's beef.
Some of these World Cup teams bring their own food. Like, you know, like soccer
good
teams,
so
they bring their own food.
So Great Britain and the United States are sending chefs now to prepare larger catering orders for their teams.
Massive orders of, what do they call it, bangers and mash?
Why are we not thinking about this beforehand?
I need some old damn fish and chips here.
Yeah, damn it.
They only have cheese.
Seriously, why are we not thinking about this? Why are we just putting our hands in France's hands? Why? I mean, our fate in France's hands? No, not happening on my watch.
I think we should, round up as many steaks as we can get on a 747 and just show up in front of the athlete housing. We'll make a killing.
Yeah.
You know? We get, at least get these boys
I think we should make our
gold.
Own housing is what we should do over there.
I heard that.
Yeah.
All right. Two down. 1.5 to go. That is right. Rangers baseball is coming up at 5:30 as they visit the Toronto Blue Jays here on the Fan, looking for number 6, their second 5-game winning streak in a row. I think they are 5 back of the wild card spot. Probably, 2.5 back of Houston as we sit here, and a game back of Seattle. All righty, G-Bag Nation, hope you're having a good one. As we return, we have a C-note for you, the Cowboys news of the evening, the top takeaways from practice, and the Micah Parsons press conference is coming up next here on The Fan.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.